Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's our prayer. Book of Judges, chapter number 1. I don't pretend to be spiritual, but Sunday morning I was praying for our services, and I felt like the Lord touched my heart with this for here. I never had preached this text, and as I prayed on it Sunday afternoon, I put it together a little bit and worked on it a little Sunday night at Remnant, but I felt like the Lord gave it to me for here. All right. So let's see if the Lord will help us. Judges chapter 1, would you stand with us? There are two parties responsible in the preached word. There is the preacher and his responsibility to declare the counsel of God. And there is the people and their responsibility to take the word of God. Amen. God is involved in all of it. He'll do his part. I want to do mine. I trust you'll do yours, and the Lord will meet with us. Judges chapter 1, just one verse of scripture, verse 20. And he gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. May the Lord bless you. You can be seated. I think it's probably already the atmosphere that's here, not said in these words, but will easily be related. Every person here probably has some kind of fear, some kind of trouble, some kind of obstacle that lies in their path. And in this particular text, the problem was these three sons of Anak. Anak was a giant. Amen. The most famous of the giants, of course, is Goliath. All of us have known the story of Goliath if we've been raised around church all of our lives. David, just a small young lad, going out to face this fierce warrior of the Philistine army. But there was more to that story than just the boldness and the cause that God instilled within the heart of that shepherd boy. Amen. There was a whole atmosphere that the whole nation of Israel had been living under, and that was the fear of giants. You see, the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, as you read that story, Goliath comes out. He makes his challenge. Send me out a man to fight with me. If he kills me, we'll be your servants. If I kill him, you'll be our servants. And the Bible said that when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Amen. I've read this and I don't know. It's just my commentary. Amen. The Bible said he was a man of war from his youth, but really it don't list a resume of any mighty battles that Goliath ever won. It don't tell us of all the people he slew, of all the nations he subdued and conquered, of all the victories he's won. Amen. Is it possible, amen, that his victory has all been through intimidation and through fear of those that stood against him? You see, giants, amen, I don't know what you'd say in Virginia, amen, at home. Amen. Giant to Israel was like the boogeyman in Alabama. Amen. Giant. Amen's what the Jewish women would tell their children when they were out at night. If you don't go to sleep, a giant's going to get you. Amen. If you're not good, A giant's going to, if you stray too far from the house, amen, a giant will get you. Come on here. Amen. The first mention of giants is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Those men of renown the Bible tells us about. Amen. They were giants in the land in that day. Amen. They were not known so much for their size as they were known for the violence of their nature and for the fierceness of their actions. Amen. They were known as people who were ruthless and cruel, and they left carnage and destruction everywhere they went. And although the Jewish people as a nation had spent all those years in bondage, they really didn't know anything but stories about giants when they came out of Egypt and God was going to bring them into the promised land. Amen. It was the fear of something they'd never seen. It was the fear of something they never experienced. It's giants. Numbers chapter 13. The spies go out. They come back. Amen. Joshua and Caleb's got a staff with one cluster of grapes hanging on it. Amen. Talking about how good the land is. And then the other ten. Begin to give their report. Amen. The Bible says that, amen, they brought an evil report of the land. Amen. They said the land which we have gone through to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw were great men of great stature. That was an exaggeration of the truth or a lie. Amen. Because all the people were not men of great stature. Amen. But that element of fear had already got into the heart of those spies. And they saw, amen, the problem magnified. And their strength and their abilities, amen, shrink. The Bible said in verse 33, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak. And once they said giants, it was over. It discouraged the heart of the people till they lifted up their voices and they wept and cried. They said, we'll never have the promise because the promise is being held by giants. Amen. So 40 years of punishment, wilderness, they're going to wonder. Amen. I'm trying to hurry through this to get to where I need to preach. Amen. In Deuteronomy, the third chapter. Amen. They must come face to face with one of the things they tried to avoid. They come to Bashan. And the Bible says they met a king there by the name of Og. And he was of the remnant of the giants. His bedstead, amen, was 9 cubits by 4 cubits, which if in a conservative estimate, 13 and a half feet long, 6 feet wide. That's the kind of bed, a bed of iron that took for this giant of a man, amen, to sleep in. And now they must confront, amen, the very thing they missed their promise for. Help me preach, Lord. Amen. You see, sooner or later in life, you're going to have to confront, amen, the giants that you fear. You're going to have to confront the giants that you face. Come on here. Amen. And in this scripture text I read you, amen, very simple. It just says Caleb expelled the 3 sons of Anak. He expelled them from Hebron. You remember Caleb was one of those spies who was of another spirit. Amen. He did not see, amen, just the impossibilities. Amen. But he saw the potential. He didn't see what must be overcome. Amen. But he saw, amen, what it could be if God got in it. Amen. Help me, Lord. So, Caleb, he tried to steal the people. They wouldn't listen. And the Bible said, Numbers 14, verse 22, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath fully followed and hath fallen me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. They said Caleb is going to possess his promise. This was the giving of the promise. You're going to get it one day. I want to know tonight, is there anybody in the house that's got any promises? Amen. Is there anybody in the house that's got a promise? Come on here. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I want to preach. Amen. This place that Caleb, amen, has his feet had tread. Amen. The sides of those mountains, that land there around the city of Hebron. It was one of the principal strongholds of the giant people. It was probably one of the most dangerous places in all of the land of Canaan. Amen. I just have my opinion. Amen. I sort of think it might have been, amen, somewhere on the sides of that mountain, amen, right under the shadows of those men, those giants, amen, where those grapes were growing. Amen. And Caleb, amen, in the crowd spying out that land, amen, I feel like maybe he said, amen, one day when God delivers this into our hand, I'd like to build a little house, amen, right up on the edge of that bluff, amen, overlooking this vineyard, amen, come out here, amen, 10 men, amen, saw the giants, amen, they saw the opposition, amen, they saw everything that was against it, amen, but Caleb said, amen, amen, this right here would be a good place, amen, to raise a family. Hebron. So the Bible, amen, God gives him a promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. And all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. Stay with me. Amen. Joshua the 14th chapter. Joshua the 14th chapter. Canaan to some degree has begun to be conquered. And the land is beginning to be distributed throughout the tribes. As the division of Canaan is taking place, amen, every tribe is being allotted their portion of that promised land. Amen, there's a man about 80 years old or so, amen, that steps through the crowd. Amen, he does not walk all hunched over, amen, with the aid and assistance of everybody else. Amen, just a big barely chested man, amen, pushes his way through the crowd and says, Brother Joshua, I don't mean interrupt the meeting, amen, but I have a promise, and I'm here to claim my promise. Amen. You were with me in the day that we returned, and Moses said that I could have the land, amen, where my feet trod. And I know it's been a while, but I'm still just as strong to go out and to come in as I was then, and I'm here to claim my promise. Now there's still giants in that land. There's still obstacles in that path. Amen. But somebody got the faith to stand and take hold of the promise of God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Now, amen, I got to slow down because I'm already out of wind and just about out of voice. In the 15th chapter, the Bible said, verse 14, Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. And y'all bear with me. I barely talk English, much less Hebrew. Amen. Shishai, Ahiman, Talmai, the children of Anak. He named these three sons and their father these giants. Now, I never had, but for some reason Sunday, I felt like trying to look at this a little bit. And so I looked up what the word Anak meant. And I found out the word Anak means collar or ornament. Collar or an ornament. Amen. In biblical typology, a collar would have probably been associated with bondage and slavery. Something that had somebody bound and controlled. Y'all gonna help me? Amen. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Amen. Paul said to that Galatian church, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." Amen. You see, we stand tonight, we sit tonight, amen, in the congregation of the redeemed. And already several of you have witnessed by lifting your hand, you have a promise. Amen. But for some reason, amen, you've been reluctant to claim that promise. You've been reluctant even further to possess that promise. Amen. And could it be because of the fear of the giants that possess that land? Amen. Come out here. Amen. Listen, if we're not careful, amen, we'll allow life and we'll allow this world and the spirit of this world to bring us back into bondage. Things God delivered us from, things God set us free from, amen, we'll allow the devil to put that collar, amen, back on us, amen, that collar, amen, and control us. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Amen. To bring us back into to bondage. It means an ornament. Just what I am. When I read that, I always think of worldliness. Glory to God. Amen. And I think about how the world is constantly trying to stuff us into their mold. Trying to form us and fashion us. I was reading something today, and I believe it was Jowett said, he was talking about people who lack conviction. He said usually those who have the least conviction are the most intolerant of the conviction of others. Yeah, amen. The left, the liberals, those who say they believe you can do anything and you're free to make whatever choice you want. If you just say, well, I believe in morality and decency and the sanctity of marriage and life, amen, they lose their tolerance for you. They don't have any. Oh, come out here. Amen. Do you know the world is always that way? Amen. It's a lot easier, seems like, amen, for the confirmation of the world to take place than it is for the transformation of the church to take place. Amen. But I hear, amen, I hear Caleb saying, I'm not afraid to face, amen, that giant of worldly bondage and worldly control. The church, we must. There is no alternative. I know we want to peacefully coexist with the world. But the church can't do it. Jesus said, you're in this world, but you're not of the world. If you were of the world would have loved you. Huh? But it don't, not even no more than it loved me. Because you're not of this world. Amen. The devil, he wants to conform us. Amen. Anik, that collar, that bondage. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Hold on here. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Amen. Listen, God's gave us promises. Amen. But those promises were not made outside of the realm of obedience. Amen. To his word. Come on here. Amen. Those promises were made. Amen. On the condition of our following after him, of our living in accordance to his precepts. Every promise, amen, that God gave Israel about Canaan was conditional on them keeping their part of the covenant of God. And can I preach to us, not just as Pentecost,
people, but also as holiness people. Amen. The blessing that God promised to his church is only to those who are willing to keep the covenant. We must drive out Anak. But he had three sons. Shishai, his name, among other things, meant six. Six is, in Bible numerology, the number of man. It represents the flesh. And I know we could cover that in a lot of different ways. Amen. But here's really what I feel. Amen. We as Christians, amen, it's not always just the conformity of the ornaments and the collar of the world. Sometimes we take on the spirit and the attitude and the nature of the world. Come on here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, which I tell you before, and I have also and told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Of those works of the flesh, almost half of them are attitudes and emotions. They're inside problems. The other half is actions and deeds that are done in the flesh. Amen. And God help us, amen, to shake ourselves, amen, from that giant of the flesh. Amen. Carnality. I said carnality. Amen. To be carnally minded. Amen. Is enmity with God. The carnal mind's not subject to the law of God. The reason we get offended at preaching that comes out of the book is because of carnality. The reason we let little conversations escalate into arguments. Carnality. The reason we stay on the verge of eruption emotionally. Huh? Come on here. Is carnality. Amen. I wonder what we would do with the promise if it was delivered into carnal hands. Go through the Old Testament. Watch the time men whose hearts were not right with God were given responsibility for the things of God. Hophni and Phinehas. Huh? Come on here. Amen. The destruction. The problems that face, we must deal with this giant called the flesh. Oh yeah. We sung a song when I was a boy. Not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I found the greatest person I have to confront and deal with is me. I give me more problems than anybody else. Amen. I've pastored some, hallelujah. Amen. But I just say over the long haul, amen, it's been me that's given me the worst fit of all of us. Come on here. Amen. Is that the giant in your life? You just need to pray through self. When the center of your world becomes self, huh? You don't care what it does to everybody else, how it affects everybody else. It's all about self. You can't inherit the promise of God. You got to get rid of that giant. Let me preach on here. Amen. Ahiman. His name means brother of right hand. And I guess in my little old mind that means fellowship or friendship. Unrighteous fellowship or friendship. The Jews, one of their main problems in Canaan, and the reason they never occupied the entire promised land, is they made friendship with the inhabitants of the land. Come on here. Oh, help us. It's a little looser a while ago than it is right now. Amen. They made friendship, ungodly friendships.
Amen. Paul told the church at Corinth, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath Christ with Baal? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Amen. What part? We've got to separate ourselves from the world. I know we're in the world. But if we're not careful, we allow these ungodly alliances, amen, to forfeit in our lives the promises of God. Help me, Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Listen to me. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. You may think yourself strong, but if you listen to that long enough, amen, that negative spirit toward the church, toward holiness, amen, toward Pentecost, amen, toward the preacher. Y'all go help me. If you listen to that tear down communication long enough, it will begin to affect you, and it'll forfeit the promise of God for the church and for your life. Amen. Friendship with the world, James 4 and 4, is enmity with God. Word enmity means opposing. It is hostile. We are too comfortable in our relations to the world and the things of the world. They say, I'm not just preaching this at you, okay? I'm talking about us as the people of God. We allow what they say and what they think to influence us way too much. Hallelujah. Amen. And then there was this guy. His name was Tamai. His name meant my furrow. A heap of water or waters. I feel like this represented trouble and care. Of all the giants I fought in my life, I have never fought one more fierce than trouble and care. Psalms 55 and 5, fearfulness, trembling, horror, the psalmist said, have overwhelmed me. There was no physical enemy. There was no physical opposition. It was fearfulness, trembling, horror. It overwhelmed him. In Psalms 24, amen, the psalmist talks about troubles. And he compares them to waters that have overwhelmed me. Streams that are gone over my soul. Until our minds are so possessed with fear and anxiety and stress. Come on here. Amen. Till we almost, amen, are afraid of the promises of God because of what the devil said we're going to have to face to possess them. Psalm 61, David said, the psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, amen, this giant of what could be, amen, possesses me until it takes my courage, until it takes my strength, until it takes my faith. Help me here now. Amen. I'm preaching about giants. And I'm not preaching to the pews or the walls. Amen. You told me. Amen. God gave you promises. Amen. Well, amen. Why have we not possessed those promises? Amen. So my little text. Amen. Judges 1:20, and they said, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. The word expel means to cast out. It means to disinherit. It means to remove the former occupant. Here's what I feel like preaching to us here on this first night. It's time to expel hell. They have possessed our promises. They have possessed what God has ordained for the church. They have possessed the mountains. They have possessed the fertile places. They have possessed the promises of God way too long. And it's time we expel them. Amen. I don't know. I'm just a simple guy. Amen. I think simple things. Amen. I feel like Brother Caleb, amen, went to that the foot of that mountain. Amen. I don't feel like he slipped in and said, we'll sneak up on them and ambush them. Amen. I feel like he gathered his men together. Amen. Stood on the bottom of the hill and said, hey, up there. Amen. You've had my promise long enough. I'm here to claim, amen, what God ordained for me to have. And I would to God that we had a militant church, amen, that would stand in the authority of God's holy word and say, devil, you've had my promise long enough. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I realize we're fighting a spiritual warfare. Oh, Lord, give me strength to finish just like I need to. We walk, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not going to get into a lot of it right here. Amen. But this is not just different titles for the same thing. He's talking about the rank and file of the fallen angels, of the demonic world, of the fallen spirits that sided with Satan. He's talking about an unseen spiritual world. I know some folks don't believe in it. Amen. But you experience it a few times, you will. Amen. There's a war and a world going on that's unseen to the natural eye. Amen. Come out here. Amen. There are spirits, powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Devils that have dominion over different things in this world. Spirits that through whatever. Sometimes it's through an individual sin. Sometimes it's through something done to them. But spirits that attach themselves to the life of an individual. Spirits that have dominion over certain places. Come on here, I don't want to get too far out here. Amen. Amen. Spirits, fallen angels, if you will. Amen. That have dominion. Amen. Jesus talked about this. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 12. Amen. Jesus discussed this very thing. Amen. He was talking about casting out devils. Amen. They accused him of doing it by the prince of devils. Amen. And he was trying to make a point. Verse 29. Or else how can one enter into the strong man's house? Amen. That is a type of fallen angel, and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man. Then will he spoil his house. Amen. Jesus said, you have to take authority, amen, over that spiritual dominion in the name of Jesus. And when you bind him, then you can spoil his house, the things that he has possessed, the things that he has held, the things that he's controlled. Hell, amen. When you bind him, you can spoil him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Amen. Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the keys of heaven. And whatsoever, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. I done told you I'm not super spiritual. I know I am. I know my limitations better than anybody else in here. But there's been a few times, amen, I have felt the enforcer come on me. Amen. And I took authority, amen, over the adversary, and I bound him in the name of Jesus. Hey, come out here. And his work had to stop. His influence, his voice, amen, had to quit. Amen. There's been a few times the Holy Ghost would come on us, and I would take authority over a sickness or affliction, and I would loose it in the name of Jesus, and it would let go and free. Hear me tonight. Amen. You don't have to let the giant possess your promise. You try to take on the devil in your own self. He gonna whip you and have a good time doing it. But if you submit yourself to God, you surrender yourself completely. That's what submit means. Surrender. No, give him all the keys. Complete surrender to God. Then you can resist. We got to need an altar here. I talked to an individual about some things. They gave access in their life. They had repented. God had helped them. They were in a constant struggle. I told him, I said, I'm not going to tell you you'll never battle this again, but I am going to tell you, you can reach a place where it's ain't an everyday battle. When you surrender completely to God and you take authority over that spirit that's tormenting you, I said, you'll find victory. Hallelujah. Come on here. Hey, man, I didn't come to offer anybody a quick, easy fix. Man, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're living a surrendered, sanctified life in his sight, and you're living the best you know how, then you don't have to stand in your own righteousness, but you can stand in the authority in the name of Jesus, and you can resist those spirits. You can resist those. Come on here. Amen. I believe Holy Ghost filled mamas and daddies can bind spirits of influence on their children. Come on here, you can't save them, amen, but you can put a halt on the hell that's working in their life, amen, until they're given. Come on here, amen, I can't back it with scripture, but you can't refute it. There was some reason in the hog pen, amen, all the way at the bottom, for some reason that young man came to himself. Could it be in a pray through daddy, amen, on his face, saying, God, shake him, deal with him, loose him one more time. He had been so drunk on pleasure and righteous living, he had not even thought about the Father's house. But then he came to himself, because that spirit's voice was silenced. The blinders of that influence was stopped. And he had the opportunity. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God gave you authority to resist, to rebuke, to recover, and to possess his promises. Stand with me all over the house. the key to our victory is submission and surrender. You have to understand how authority works. Amen. That's why when the centurion, I believe it was, came, asked Jesus to heal his servant. Amen. Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And he said, you don't have to come. He said, I understand authority. I know how it works. All you have to do is say the word. I'm under authority. I say to a man, go, and he goes. Another come, and he comes. He said, I know how it works. If you're under authority, then you are given authority. And you can say the word, and it'll be done. When we submit ourselves to God in full surrender, we place ourselves under His authority. That is not a place of weakness. Rather, that is a place of strength. Because then we take on His authority. And we can speak it in His name and overcome. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bring this congregation to Your throne tonight. Lord, I have tried to deliver what I felt You prompted me to. But I also realize my words are far insufficient to really make us understand. So I'm asking You to impress this into the heart of this people. Lord, I don't know who I came to preach to tonight. I don't know what individual, Lord, or what people. I just know, Lord, the message that You sent me with. Oh, God, I pray right now that faith and courage might take hold in their heart. They might claim their promise. But even greater, they might possess the promise that You have made them. There are giants, oh Lord, that have aligned themselves against the church, against the people of God, against righteousness and godliness. And Lord, I take authority over those giants, those influences, those powers and principalities. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking You to bind them tonight. And I'm asking You to loose Your children, Your people. I'm asking You to loose the promises, oh God, that have been held up by the influences and the hand of the enemy. And Lord, let Your people possess what You have spoken to them and leave in victory tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder tonight, are there people who will step out and possess the promise? Now, mind you, you're going to step out into warfare. You're still worried about the giant. You'll walk away empty-handed. But if you can say with a little shepherd boy, you come to me with spear and a sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies you defy. You can possess your promise tonight. You can expel hell. Come on. Are you coming? Are you coming?